This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Throughout our lives, we meet many people. But how many are mere acquaintances, and how many are real, genuine friends? This presents all of us with this particular challenge in life. How? How do you turn an acquaintance into a friend? What are the keys, the techniques to having real friends? Well, stay with us as we explore this question and consider some very good possibilities on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us on today's program. What I want to talk about today is how to win friends. How to win friends. Now why might that be important to a Christian? Well, it's important that we have good rapport with people from all different walks of life, all different religions, because by having good rapport with people, it will allow us to share what's important to us as we listen to others and what is important to them. Now, a number of years ago, my father asked me to read a book. The book was titled How to Win Friends and Influence People, and it was written by Dale Carnegie, maybe close to about 100 years ago or so, or maybe 90 or 80 years ago. And in this book, Carnegie addresses a number of issues that can help you relate to other people and also influence other people. Now, when we look at these points that Carnegie brings up in his book, we will find applications that are in your Bible. We will find connections to scriptures within the Bible. So I want to look at that particular topic from the standpoint of trying to build rapport in order to talk about what is important to you, which should be your beliefs and what the Bible has to say about the truth of God. But also, we want to do this because of a couple scriptures that I want to relate to you right now. One of these scriptures is over in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. And I'm going to pick it up there in verse 19. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So not only should we get baptized and baptize others, but we need to teach these others what the truth of God is. And if you can think back to your school experience, I'm sure you had certain teachers that you liked a little bit better than other teachers. And maybe there was something about their personality, something about their charisma, something about their connection that they made with you that made that person someone you wanted to listen to, someone you wanted to talk to. Well, we can learn things like that to help us be someone that others want to talk to, want to discuss things with. And we can learn some of those things from Dale Carnegie's book and look at how those things relate to Scripture. One other scripture I'd like to address when we think about evangelizing, when we think about getting the Word of God out to other people who may not know about it, is over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians 9, I'm going to pick it up in verse 20. It says, "And to the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." What Paul is saying here is he wanted to relate to people where they were. He wanted to relate to the Jews from their understanding. He wanted to relate to the Gentiles from their understanding. And that's what we need to do as people also. We need to understand where people are. We can't have just one way of talking to everybody. We need to look at each person individually as we try to understand how to talk, how to relate, how to build rapport with various individuals within the society in which we live. And some of these things we can use in our day-to-day life at home, with our family, with our friends, and with others within our church community. A lot of these things are common sense, but we sometimes forget those common sense things and need to be reminded of them every once in a while to get us back on the right track. So that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be looking at Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and find biblical applications relating to many of the points he makes within that book. Before we do any of that, though, I'd like to offer you some free literature and also offer you a free CD on today's program. The literature we'd like to offer you today is titled True Discipleship: What It Means to Follow Jesus. What this particular pamphlet focuses on, it focuses on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And it will get into the details of what Jesus meant when he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are those who are persecuted." You may find in reading this that what you may have thought about some of those blessings is a little different from what the Scripture is actually saying. We'd also like to offer you a free CD. Now, this CD is a sermon about the topic we are discussing today. In this particular sermon, I will provide you more details addressing the points that Carnegie makes in his book and how they relate to the Bible. And we will also be addressing some points that we will not have the time to address in today's program. To get both the pamphlet and the CD, please call toll-free, and both of those items are free, toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791, or visit our website, www.cgi.org. Go to the link for contacting us at www.cgi.org, and you can order those items there. Also visit our website for a live webcasted sermon each Saturday. Go to the website to find the times and more details, www.cgi.org. Thanks again for joining us on today's program. What we're talking about today is Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and we're looking at some of the points that Carnegie makes in his book and how they relate to Scripture, how they can be applied to various Scriptures in the pages of our Bible. And I'd like to get started by looking at a very important one that Carnegie brings up in the beginning of his book, and that is, don't criticize. Don't criticize. Now, some of you out there may be saying, well, when my 13-year-old does this, or when my 17-year-old does that, I'm going to tell them what's wrong about that. I totally understand that we need to correct people, that people make mistakes. But how you correct people and when you correct people can make all the difference in whether or not those people are going to want to listen or hear what you have to say. In the book, Carnegie brings up the example of B.F. Skinner, a psychologist who ran a lot of experiments with animals. And what he noticed was that when animals or rats were given positive reinforcement, they were more likely to carry out the tasks he wanted them to. When he gave them negative reinforcement, they were not as likely to follow his lead. And I know this is true for me. I know in my marriage, when my wife wants me to do something, if her tone of voice is a little bit angry, I, for some reason, don't hear that as well as when she speaks to me in a kind and benevolent type of voice. And the same thing works for me in reverse with my wife. I think all of us can understand that particular concept. Also, when you're trying to tell someone something that is correction of some sort, it's a good idea not to do it when they are in an emotional state. When we are, our emotions are in a heightened state, we aren't as likely to hear things as they should be heard. We aren't as likely to want to do things as they should be done. So that's another thing to keep in mind. And also, ask the person if you can offer some advice. Let them know that you are not demanding that they listen to you, or you're not about to force your views upon them. But ask if you can offer something to them and see how they react to that particular approach when you think about this topic of not criticizing people. Another important thing to realize about this is in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, I'm going to turn there. This is a very famous scripture. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We need to recognize that we may be talented in certain areas, but we're limited in some other areas, just like everyone else in this world. None of us are perfect. All of us have sinned. And keeping that in mind will help temper how you correct people and how you offer constructive criticism to people. I'd like to also relate to you a really great story that is brought up in Carnegie's book. This story revolves around a test pilot named Bob Hoover. Now, back when jet planes were first coming into vogue, there were still a lot of propeller planes on the runways of many of our airports. And this particular test pilot, Bob Hoover, took up a propeller plane, and the individual who was fueling that plane put jet fuel into the plane rather than gasoline. Now, that was a serious mistake, because once Hoover got in the air, he started having a lot of problems in flying that plane. He eventually had to land it, almost crashing the plane. Now, imagine that you were Bob Hoover. You almost died in a plane crash because somebody made a mistake on the type of fuel that they put into that plane. How did he react to this? When they found out what the issue was, he went over to the fella who had fueled his plane with a smile on his face. He put his arm around the guy's shoulder and he said to him, "Now I'm going to let you fuel my plane tomorrow because I know you're going to put the right fuel in that plane tomorrow." What a way to handle that situation. If we could all handle things like that, rather than getting angry, getting upset, getting down in the gutter about issues and problems that arise within our lives, what a fantastic way to deal with something like that. We can all learn something from that. Another point that Carnegie brings up in his book is make people feel important, but be sincere about it. Now, if you're going to be sincere about it, you're going to have to get to know people. You're going to have to find out what they're good at, what they like to do, if you're going to want to make them feel important. Now, for some people, they don't need strokes. They don't need people to give them compliments all the time. But there are a lot of people in our society who do need that, who like to hear compliments, and compliments uplift them. So just because you don't feel that way is not to say that others aren't going to get something from you making them feel important, but please be sincere about it. When we think about some of the folks who are depressed in society today, some of these individuals are depressed due to the fact no one is there for them. No one has ever given them positive feedback or recognition or compliments and things of that nature. Mental illness is a big topic with a lot of reasons as to why people get mentally ill. But some of these individuals just need some support, some guidance, some help, and some compliments along the way in life, and that can help stabilize how they think about themselves and the world around them. A great scripture for this particular point is over in the book of Ephesians. I'd like you to turn there if you do have your Bibles handy. Over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, notice what it says. "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you." If we can keep that attitude throughout the day in our dealings with others, we're going to get along a lot better with everyone we come into contact with. Another point that I'd like to address on today's program is arouse in the other person an eager want. Arouse in the other person an eager want. What are we talking about here? You want to find out what motivates people. What type of passion do people have, and what is that passion about? When you find out what motivates people, where their passion lies, if you can help them with that motivation, with that passion, they're really going to want to talk to you and deal with you. There's a good story in the book that Carnegie relates about a father who had a son, and his son was smoking cigarettes. And this father wanted his son to stop smoking cigarettes. Now, rather than browbeat his son about it, rather than grounding his son, rather than disciplining his son, he had a conversation with his son because he knew the eager want that his son had. The eager want for his son was to make the varsity basketball team. And his father reasoned with his son, telling him that a lot of those kids are good on that basketball team. For you to get a little bit better, if your aerobic endurance, if your aerobic capacity was better, if you could run up and down that court all day and not get tired, that was going to help you make that varsity basketball team. So what happened? Well, what happened was the son quit smoking because he realized that eager want that he had, that passion of making the varsity basketball team, was more important to him than smoking cigarettes. And those of us who believe the Bible, those of us who have atheist or agnostic friends, all of these individuals are going to come face to face with the specter of death at some time in their life. We've got a lot of information on death. What it's about, what happens, why it happens, and the fact of a resurrection. We can offer that information to people at certain times in life, and they may be wanting to hear it at those certain times. So there are all kinds of motivations that people have, and sometimes they only have those motivations or those passions at certain opportune times in life. By knowing that person, understanding that person, we can step in there when there's a need to offer some solace and some guidance. Another point that is made in the book is you want to show interest in others. You want to show interest in others. Now, I know we run through the day, we hustle and bustle all day, and a lot of times we're just running past people who are saying hi to us, and we never even knew that they said hi to us. We got to slow down. If you're going to show interest in people, you got to slow down a little bit. And the Roman poet said this. His name was Publius Syrus. He said, "We are interested in others when they are interested in us." And that is so true. If you don't show any interest in others, why is anybody going to want to listen to what your passion is in life? Why is anybody going to care about what's going on in your life? You need to give some of yourself in order for others to understand who you are and what you're all about. Now, this is important because the Bible tells us God cares about us. God is interested in us. And there are a couple scriptures that really point this out. Let's take a look at them over in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 and verse 3 says the following. Luke 15 and verse 3. "So he spoke this parable to them, saying, 'What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." God cares about everybody. He cares not only about those who believe in Him, He cares about those who don't believe in Him. And we should do the same if we're trying to emulate God and His character in this life. We should care about everybody, no matter what they believe, no matter who they are. Another scripture in the book of Luke about the caring and the interest of God in mankind is over in Luke chapter 12. In verse 6 it says this, Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man, that's verse 8, let me pick it up in verse 6, are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. God cares about you. He has interest in you. Look at the detail that He has in awareness of you. We should try to feel that way about others we run into in this life here on earth. Another point that I'd like to make is smile. Smile. Be happy. Have a positive attitude. You know, when I make a smile on my face, things are happening inside me physiologically that are positive for me. Science has done studies on that type of thing, and they've learned that having a positive attitude, just putting a smile on your face, even if you're not happy, can help alter your mind and the ways you think and what you're thinking about. I've got an interesting story to tell you about this one. I had a cable bill a while back, and there was a mistake on the cable bill. So we called the cable company. They told me that they were going to correct everything. Everything was going to be fine. Don't worry about it. The following month, that same error was on the cable bill again. I called back once again. They said they would take care of it. They told me nothing to worry about. Everything is under control. I let it go. The next month, the cable bill came once again. The same error was there. Now, I was a little bit perturbed by this, as many of you probably would be perturbed also. I wasn't too angry, but I do remember my tone on the phone. I was talking to them in this manner, and I said, "This is the third time there's been an error on this bill." The voice on the other end of the line said, "Oh, sir, I am so sorry about that. We're going to take care of this today. I promise you, I will make this right." That voice changed my attitude immediately. They altered what was going on inside of me just like that by the fact that they had a positive attitude. Now, will this work with everyone? No. There are some people who are very upset and angry out there. But when you do have a positive attitude, when you do have some joy in your heart, it can have an effect on others around you. So keep that in mind and remember what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. I'm going to go ahead and turn there and read this to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says the following. It says this. It says, "Rejoice always." Really simple. I know there are times when we have to have sad times in our life, but our internal attitude should be one of rejoicing and positivity. Another big point to make in trying to build rapport with other people is that we want to be good listeners. We want to listen to people. And in Carnegie's book, he had a great story on this. He went to a party, and he met a botanist at this party. And Carnegie knew nothing about botany, so he wanted to talk to this guy because Carnegie was interested in learning about all kinds of things within the world. And so he was talking to this fella, and he maybe mentioned 5 or 6 sentences in his conversation with this botanist. The botanist did most of the talking. Now, a mutual friend of both Carnegie and the botanist later told Carnegie that he had been talking to the botanist, and the botanist had mentioned that he met Carnegie at the party, and he felt Carnegie was the greatest conversationalist that he had met in his life. Now remember, Carnegie chuckled at this because he said 5 or 6 sentences to the botanist during that hour of conversation. What had happened here was maybe the botanist didn't have a lot of people who wanted to talk to him. Maybe a lot of people did not find that particular area of interest to them, and he maybe at parties was left alone by others. But that affected the botanist to such a degree that he had this great feeling about Carnegie, and I think if Carnegie ever wanted to talk to the guy about anything, that guy was going to be all ears about it. Now, when we think about this in relation to the Bible, notice that in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. Now, how could that relate to this concept of being a good listener? Well, if God wants us to pray without ceasing, who's hearing all those prayers? Who's listening to all of that? God is listening to all those prayers. So God must be a great listener in order to take that all in. So again, in trying to emulate God and trying to have the character of God, we need to be good listeners. That's a very important one to remember. And in listening and talking, another important thing to remember is don't get into arguments about things. If you get into an argument about things and other people are around, they're going to say, oh, look at that Christian. He's arguing just like everybody else. He's yelling just like everybody else. He's upset just like everybody else. We want to set an example for people that we're unique, we're different, we're following a way of life that is uplifting and positive, and we need to project that within the communities in which we are operating. A great scripture in the Bible that addresses this is over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 23, it says this, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. We need to avoid arguments, get into a discussion, get into a debate, but if it gets down into the gutter, you gotta walk away from it. You gotta let that go. You aren't going to solve any problems when you start yelling and screaming and getting into arguments of that sort. So what have we been doing on today's program? We've been looking at Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. We're finding that in the points Carnegie makes in his book, there are applications in the pages of your Bible, how to build rapport with people, how to get close to people. And when you get close to people, they're going to want to get close to you. When you listen to them, they're going to want to listen to you. And that's your opportunity to then talk about the hope that is in you that's based upon the truth of the Bible. So I hope we've gotten that across to you today. Please remember, don't criticize. And please remember to listen and to show interest in others. Thanks for joining us. Put on the whole armor of God.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support. Exploring current global conditions along with the latest social trends, the Armor of God asks the question, what are the solutions to our broken world? Right here every week, new perspectives are presented for your consideration by our commentators. The Armor of God challenges you to be vigilant in your outlook and understanding of this world in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.